And now, filling in for Sam Cedar, one of only three people to be fired by Air America twice, Mark Maron.
And I'm back. What does that say about me? Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor. Of course, you lurking conservatives. A lot of things on the table in front of me that I have not gotten to. A couple of things right off the top. I'd like to say that Senator Tim Johnson is apparently, as I said yesterday, he is at times conscious. He is responding to voices. His eyes and are moving, and he's also moving his limbs. So I say he's ready for work. Let's stop the panic. He's ready for work. If he can blink, he can vote. Let's move on. Just as long as he stays, you know, anything above where he's at is great. I wish him a speedy recovery, but I think he's ready for work now. On another level, please, folks, Joe Barbera. The partner in the Hanna-Barbera, Bill Hanna and Joe Barbera, who created the great cartoons, Tom and Jerry, The Flintstones, Yogi Bear, Huckleberry Hound and Friends, Top Cat, Scooby-Doo, Johnny Quest, The Jetsons, and Animal Follies, has passed yesterday. Joe Barbera is dead at the age of 95. And if we could, please, can we just have a moment of reflection for Joe Barbera? That, of course, the sound of his spirit departing this realm. I want to talk about Hillary Clinton. I want to talk about Robert Gates. I want to talk about a lot of things. But first, I've promised I will talk to this gentleman who I thought I thought I had covered this. I thought that we had talked to the guy who was mad at me for over a year ago using the word fag in the wrong way, or using it in a joke and then having a discussion about it. But there is someone else. Fidel, let's do this. What is on your mind?
Hey, first of all, I want to say that that excuse or that apology was as lame as can be. Another thing that I want to point out is that here in New York, we had a guy that was lured into a park to have sex by these teenagers. He consequently ran out into traffic, got killed, and there was a big debate whether it should be a hate crime or not. Yet, a guy knocks over a menorah, and it's a hate crime already. And the reason why I'm making these comparisons is because the majority of your hosts tout that you're Jewish. Good for you, mazel tov. However, you have people like yourself making inflammatory comments, and Randy Rhodes comparing the atrocities that happened at Abu Ghraib as homo.
All right, where are we going with this?
Well, I'm going with this. I'm saying that it is a pattern that you people keep on
alive
in America by supporting your banter. You are keeping it alive by making that subliminal connection that gay is something out of the ordinary.
I don't think I ever made any suggestion that
gay. Fag and faggot, sir. I emailed you and I said,
we had
word.
All right. You're going to have to let me respond, Fidel. I said the word fag in a joke in order to provoke conversation around that word. I am not being hateful. I am not being judgmental, and I cannot speak for other hosts on this network, but I understand your concern. If you don't think that I don't serve you in the way that you want to be served, or that I've somehow become or acted in a prejudiced way, I think it's a misunderstanding on your part. Your anger seems to run a lot deeper than it runs just towards me.
With people like you.
What do you mean, like me? What does that mean?
With people like you that use this word. You apologize to this guy that just called, and then you and your buddies are like, ha, 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 oh, we just wrote this skit because of Glenn that just called. What kind of crap is that?
What do you mean, wrote this skit? That skit was written 2 days ago. You don't even know what you're talking about.
Play it back. What did the guy say? Play it back. I'm not hearing things, sir. The bottom line is that you are a hateful individual, and I guess you try to bump up your manhood.
Really? Let me ask you a question, Fidel. Listen to your tone of voice. Who is hateful? Who is hateful? I have not heard a person filled with more hate on this in my radio experience than what's coming out of your head right now. And I don't know what your major issue is, but you are being hateful. I am not being hateful in any way towards you or towards anybody else. And that's it. All right, fine. So let's move on. That was I thought it was going to be a conversation, but clearly it's very interesting to me that in these kind of discussions that whatever you say after that, or whatever your issues or behaviors that you have after something like that, which we discussed and which we discussed fairly thoroughly, that this guy was so dead set on tearing me a new one somehow because of issues that I'd probably be the only guy that would talk to him in a public forum, because he's incapable of talking in an appropriate way, and he's calling me hateful. I don't have any hate for him even. But the issue that he is bringing up, it's a fallacy. I understand that the word is an inappropriate word to use. We had that discussion. I know in my heart that it's an inappropriate word to use. I don't use it with any hate at all, and I don't hate that guy. I find him very annoying, as he might find me annoying, and I don't think that I have stifled in any way the dialogue towards a more progressive view of how people should be treated, but him calling me hateful, that is crazy. And I'm not sure what he wants me to say. And there's nothing I could say that would be good enough, because I cannot apologize for whatever is stuck in his craw. So let me talk about something else. Did I have something in my mind that I wanted to move towards? We're going to have John Nichols on in just a few minutes. If I can, he has written a book. It's not what we're going to talk to him. Now I'm a little worked up. I feel like I want to get angry, but I don't want to get hateful. You know, I find that I've tried to search my soul in terms of hate. And I will be completely honest with you people, and I don't know if I'm speaking for progressives or just for myself. I certainly can't speak for progressives, or I can't speak for anybody but myself. But in some bizarre way, one of the reasons I am tolerant, and one of the reasons I am capable of empathy or compassion is deeply rooted in a sense of insecurity. I find that I don't have much hate in my heart for anyone, but I do have resentment. And oddly, the resentment that I feel are towards my peers more so than a group of people or anybody that's different than me. My resentment comes from my ego. It comes from a sense of jealousy or a feeling that I am, you know, not getting enough or good enough or achieving what I want to achieve in comparison to other people. But the reason I have found in my heart that I don't experience hate is there's very few people of any sort of ethnic group or any sort of different sexual identification than me or sexual preference than me. There's very few people on some level whose disposition either or in any way that I don't somehow wish I had something as clear as that. Do you understand that there's something that my empathy is fueled by the fact, like, I wish I had as much identity as that guy or those people or that woman, that she seems to be, that in my insecurity, my desire to be like somebody else in some respects makes me a little more tolerant and a little more jealous, but not hateful. I rarely hate people. I'm usually more interested in where they come from and what their life is like to hate them. I just don't have it in me. And I think that to misunderstand me as a hateful person is it's insulting to me on some level, because I am irreverent. I am a little edgy. I am spiteful. I am resentful. But I'm not. There is no way that you could call me hateful. You could call me an ass. You can call me I've been called plenty of names. Selfish. But hateful is not something I got in me. So as I was going to say, I wanted to talk a second, and if we could, before we bring John Nichols in, because he didn't write a piece about this, but he's just written a book called The Genius of Impeachment. And I know there's a lot of talk right now. I mean, clearly this president has done many impeachable offenses. And there's discussion about whether or not those proceedings should start in the Congress. Should John Conyers, should people like Henry Waxman, should these people start moving towards indicting this president, putting committees together to begin impeachment proceedings, or at least to hold them responsible through committees for some of the crimes that they have done? Is that a political thing? Or is that a congressional responsibility? My tendency is to think that I would like some documents drawn up. I don't know if we should engage in the process with the full momentum and money of the new Congress. I don't know if we should do that. I feel that there are bigger priorities in terms of re-legislation, or starting to turn back some of the legislation that are hurting people in this country, certainly around tort reform, around personal bankruptcy, around healthcare, that there are other issues that need to serve the lower and whatever's left of the middle class that need to be done in terms of legislation, that I would hate to see that distracted. But there are other people. I tend to feel that I'd like to see a case for impeachment, but I don't know if I want all the resources to go into it. But there are people that feel that it is not a political issue. It is a congressional responsibility. And I'd like to get some opinions on that, if you could, at 303-866-2270, before we get John Nichols on. To hear your opinion, to hear some different angles on that. Do you think that impeachment is a congressional responsibility, or would be a deterrence to actual business that could be done in the next 2 years by the Senate and the Congress? 866-303-2270. It's Marinin for Cedar, 17 past.
It's Sam Cedar launching an illegal invasion and occupation of your brain.